Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the continuation of what happened last week at reInvent. This is a recap that spans multiple days because we make an escalatingly poor series of terrible decisions. This recap is sponsored by Chaos Search. So many companies can be defined by what they do, but I prefer to define Chaos Search in terms of what it does not do. It does not sue its customers. It does not threaten to sue its customers. It does not confuse lawsuits for sales pitches. It does not require you to manage your own Elasticsearch cluster. It does not require you to spend inordinate amounts of money and engineering resource in keeping Elasticsearch up and running. No, your data lives in S3, and it lets you query that data using the Elasticsearch compatible API. It is a fantastic service. I'm a huge fan of the product. Take a look at what they've done and thank them as well if you wind up talking to them for providing me a place to leave my stickers during reInvent. To learn more, visit Chaos Search at chaossearch.io. And as always, thank you to them for their continuing and ongoing and sometimes confusing support of my ridiculous nonsense. We continue now with what happened last week at reInvent. One of the more interesting things that came out was AWS Wavelength, where Amazon is effectively shipping their Outpost boxes off to telco companies. In the United States, their launch partner is Verizon. And they have a test market there where now when you're trying to build a 5G application, you are effectively going to be using cloud services in some form. What AWS has done, and I find it rather genius, is they're able to now take all of these exciting innovations that are happening in the 5G world from a development perspective and get themselves a front row seat at the table. But they're not doing that work themselves. Instead, they're providing services to the folks who are through that ongoing Verizon partnership. And of course, other providers around the world, but Verizon was the one that was on stage. This is fantastic. And I think that it's going to either see 5G turn into something and leave AWS very well positioned, or it's going to be a marketing flop. And really, all AWS is out is a bit of keynote time, which frankly is over anyway, and whatever hardware they had to send out to the telco providers. It really is a win for them. And frankly, it gives a glimpse of a rather masterful product strategy. I look forward to making fun of that in the coming months. Announcing new Amazon EC2, M6G, C6G, and R6G instances powered by the next generation ARM-based AWS Graviton 2 processors. It feels like the original A1 series instances powered by the original Graviton was almost a tech preview because these things are no joke. They tend to be as powerful, if not significantly more so, than C5 or M5 class instances while being significantly less. It's interesting because they've built their own processors for this out of the acquired Annapurna Labs. Meanwhile, AMD has launched some amazing stuff over the past year in the world of their EPYC line. So it's an exciting time to be in the world of cloud processors. Meanwhile, Intel's contribution in 2019 was sponsoring an amazing replay party event last week, which remains the single noteworthy thing they've done in 2019, as best I can see. AWS announces Amazon Code Guru for automated code reviews and application performance recommendation. Now, first, the A-Cloud Guru training folks are going to say, wait, you called it what now? Same acronym, same terms, not super thrilling for them, I would imagine. Somewhat more interesting to that is, as we take a look here, the way that they're billing for this is, to be honest, Byzantine and more than a little bit bizarre. They're charging 75 cents per 100 lines of code reviewed. This might be expensive. It might not. I ran one of my personal newsletter applications through it, and it looks like the entire thing would have cost $120, which is not an unreasonable amount of money if it works correctly. Right now, it's limited to Java, a language I don't speak, so I can't tell you directly. But the problem I have with the billing model is that suddenly developers are thinking in terms of lines of code, which is a metric that most sensible shops don't measure or care about because it's not the compelling part of the story. And it's focusing developer attention on something they don't normally have to think about purely in service of the billing system. I don't think that's the right move forward, and I think it's going to cause some significant challenges. Amazon Web Services announces AWS Transit Gateway Network Manager to centrally monitor your global network. That's right, if you have a whole bunch of transits gateway, you can now monitor them through a network manager. This is going to be a concern to anyone currently at your company with the title of network manager, because just like the Amazon code guru we previously mentioned, it has the potential to put some people out of work if they look at it the wrong way and squint hard enough. AWS DeepRacer expands. More ways to participate, more things to learn, more ways to win, more ways for a deep lens to follow you into the bathroom and avoid obstacles on its way. This is fascinating for all the crap that I give it, just because the sheer number of people who are interested in getting into this side of the world is dramatically escalating, because normally people wouldn't care as much until you make it a competition and turn it into a self-driving car style race. I like the direction it's going in. It's definitely broadening the tent. And from that perspective alone, I'm starting to feel a little bad about making fun of it. Now, I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to feel bad regardless. AWS Lambda announces provisioned concurrency, their solution to the cold start problem. That's right. You can now keep cold starts out of your serverless applications by paying for a server to keep them warm for you. This does remove a whole lot of wasted Lambda warmers that would periodically trigger existing Lambda functions. It's an incomplete solution, but it definitely is a better option now that we have it. So we'll see how this winds up manifesting both in terms of technology as well as economically. AWS launches Amazon Recognition custom labels to enable customers to find objects and scenes unique to their business in images. That is awesome. An object that is unique to my business would be a platypus smiling with an open mouth. Can Recognition find that? We'll find out. AWS launches new program to drive migrations for end-of-support Windows Server applications. It is completely unclear whether this program is software, a team of people, initiative internal to AWS, something they'll be branding six different ways but leading to the same thing, or something else entirely. But whatever it is, please use it. If you need to support legacy Windows applications, there's no better time to yell at your account manager. Speaking of yelling at your account manager, AWS License Manager now adds dedicated host management capabilities to simplify your bring-your-own-license experience. That's right, because everything in software licensing could indeed benefit from simplification. My approach has been to pick services where the licensing cost is completely rolled into whatever I consume. So maybe you could pick services that don't require an accountant and an attorney working in tandem to make sense of what your bill should be and whether it aligns to your existing license coverage. Software licensing is of the devil, but we must use it. AWS License Manager also allows administrators to automate discovery of existing software licenses. This is the exact inverse of an Oracle license audit, because usually that automates discovery of licensing shortfalls. AWS Marketplace announces a simplified fee structure and the expansion of seller private offers. Through the marketplace's expansion of seller private offers, there's now a viable replacement available for Craigslist casual encounters. Those are effectively the same thing, as best I can tell. Enough of the lighthearted tomfoolery. Let's talk for a minute about something a bit more serious. That's right. We are talking once again about Chaos Search. They're a lighthearted company. They engage with me and they sponsor podcasts like this, but what they do is serious and seriously awesome. I don't think that you can truly appreciate how obnoxious it is to run Elasticsearch in any of its forms until you've done it. What I like about this is they have completely severed the barrier between compute and storage. You can pay for one, but not the other, except when you need it. They have masterfully accepted that the cloud has taken a vote and the economically effective and durable storage is object store, not block store that you then need to replicate across multiple AZs. They got rid of cross-AZ data transfer fees by using these things. It fundamentally is fantastic use of Elasticsearch. If you use Elasticsearch for anything, I beseech you, take a look at what they're doing. I would not lie to you. I would not endorse them this strongly if I did not believe in what they do. I'm a believer. Take a look. I suspect you will be too. Check them out at chaossearch.io. That's chaossearch.io. And thank you to them once again for sponsoring my ridiculous babbling. The AWS Marketplace makes it easier for you to discover relevant third-party software and data products. And if you read the blog post announcement, one of the ones that they're launching with, as an example, is Deloitte's Converge Health Miner platform. And it seems odd that AWS would be promoting a competitor in the realm of terrible service names, but here they are regardless. AWS Transit Gateway now supports inter-region peering. When you have multiple transits gateway, you can now make them talk not just cross-account, but also across regions. it will almost certainly cost a pretty penny, but once you've gone significantly down the rabbit hole of Transit's gateway, you really don't have another option. This is exciting for you. The EKS preview of ARM processor EC2 instances is now available in more regions with the latest Kubernetes versions, proving that even during reInvent, they still have nonsense announcements that no one cares about just to check a box somewhere. It's a region expansion and a version upgrade. Who cares during reInvent week? Absolutely no one, but here I am dutifully reporting it to you. You're welcome. Introducing Access Analyzer for Amazon S3 to review access policies. That's right. You can now have something else that tells you you've left buckets open in S3, then the world can read them. Will you pay attention? Absolutely not, but it shores up the argument that you should be paying attention. So when you fail to pay attention and make the front page of the New York Times, you have less and less grounds to blame Amazon for your own short-sighted shortcomings. Introducing Amazon Bracket, or Bricket, or Break-T, or Briquette is how I'm deciding it's going to be pronounced, a service for exploring and evaluating quantum computing. Why am I so focused on how this name is pronounced? Because it's the only thing about quantum computing that I possibly understand. And it turns out I'm not alone. No one understands it because right now you can't buy actual services around it. It's a marketing story because everyone's talking about it, but no one is delivering anything on it because it's all still theoretical. Speaking of theoretical, introducing the Amazon Builders Library. It's an amazing series of PDFs curated lovingly by AWS and passed from them to you for free about the lessons they've learned architecturally while building AWS services. It's going to be incredibly handy both to systems architects everywhere, as well as the naive children of Hacker News who are going to attempt to build their own version of AWS in a weekend and fail hilariously. Now we'll get to hear them using more advanced vocabulary while still agitating for terrible things. Introducing Amazon Detective. Look for the first installment that's coming soon. The Amazon Detective and the case of the missing EBS volume snapshots. Sure to be a page-turner. This is done in the style of film noir. This is AWS branching into finally being better, not just with service names, but also telling stories about those services. Introducing the Amazon Event Bridge Schema Registry, now in preview. This would definitely benefit with an explainer blog post that explains what it actually means for human beings who've not touched EventBridge yet, but we don't have one. So we just have this vague post to go off of that doesn't quite explain what needs to be understood in order to use it. I'm told it's important, but I'm not smart enough to understand exactly how. And with that, we'd wind up drawing to a close this second edition of Last Week in AWS. There are at least two more to come this week. You think it's bad to listen to it. I had to write, review, and publish all of these things because life is pain. Once again, I am Corey Quinn, cloud economist at the Duckbill Group, solving for AWS bills here in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. Thank you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.